If you have your Bible, open up to the book of Genesis in chapter number 1. The book of Genesis in chapter number 1. Through our exhortation time, we've been going through the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and today we're going to move into our first big chunk of Genesis, which is chapter 1, and then the first part of chapter 2 there. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Goodness gracious, I'd be here the rest of the day. But I'm going to give you a summary of this, and we're going to look at the first heading that I gave you several weeks ago. And we've outlined Genesis 1 through 11 just for a few moments. With the first section is the founder. The next section we'll cover will be the family. And then it's the fall. And then you've got the flourishing, where society really begins. And then you've got the flood. And then at the end, you've got the fools, which is the Tower of Babel. So first, we're going to look at the founder himself in the creation account. And that is here in Genesis 1. Look in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now in chapter 1, God's name appears about 32 times. So God takes front and center stage here, and it's all about the founder. It's all about God. It's all about what He did, how He did it, and also when He did it. And in verse 1 here, you see what He did, which is creating the heavens and the earth. And then beginning in verse 2, it begins to tell us how He did it. So verse 1 is what He did. Verse 2 and following is how He did it. Here's just a summary of chapter 1. Day 1, He created the heavens. He created the earth. He created light, and He separated light from darkness. He called the day, He called the light day, and He called the darkness night. Now day 2, He divides the water that He created by making the atmosphere above the earth. Day 3, He created dry land and beautiful plants as it appeared through the water. In day 4, God filled the outer space with the sun and the moon and the stars also. That's one of the biggest understatements in the Bible. If you've ever seen or studied the vastness of the universe and how many stars there are out there, and in this verse it says, and He made the stars also. Huge understatement. Sun, moon, stars, He put things into outer space. Day 5, He filled the oceans with life, and He created birds and other flying creatures. Day 6, He commanded the earth to bring forth living creatures. He also made man and woman in His own image. And then day 7, God rested.
Amen.
Not because He was tired, but because He was done. Amen?
That's right.
Now in chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 3, you've got God creating everything in 6 days and resting on the seventh. Now beginning in chapter 2, verse number 4, it begins to explain the details of the day number 6. Look in 2 verse 4. These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. No bush of the field was yet in the land. No small plant of field sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain. There was no man to work the ground. And the Lord formed, verse 7, man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So here what you've got in chapter 1 is a big picture view of the 7 days, up to chapter 2, verse 3. And then chapter 2, verse 4 on through the end of chapter 2 is day 6 in particular. This is just kind of going back and saying, all right, now that we've covered a big picture view of creation days, let's go back in and look at the details of day number 6 of how He created man and what He told man. And how He created woman and what He told woman. And we'll look at that next time with the family. But for this time, we're looking at the founder himself and his creation for just here a few moments. Now, how do we know that these chapters in Genesis are literal and not metaphorical and are not allegory? A lot of people say, chapters 1 through 11, which is why we're covering them, a lot of people say that they're metaphorical or that they're allegorical. They're not literal. They're just figures. So Adam and Eve weren't real people. The days weren't real days. And the flood wasn't a real flood. And these are just allegories pointing to something bigger. Many people believe this, and it's essential that they do not. These chapters are all literal. I'll just give you a quick argument. Jesus Christ Himself. What did Jesus say about the creation? That's really all I care about at the end of the day. Matthew 19, 4-5, Jesus quotes Genesis 2:24 affirming a literal man and a literal woman. In Luke 11:51, Jesus affirms a literal Abel, Cain and Abel, Genesis 4. He affirms a literal Abel when he says, quote, "From the blood of Abel to Zechariah." Literal Zechariah, a literal Abel. Jesus believed in a literal interpretation of Genesis 1 through 11. In Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39, and in Luke 17, verses 26 through 27, Jesus speaks about Noah and the great flood in a literal sense when he says this, quote, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." Jesus believed in a literal Noah, a literal boat, and a literal flood. And he equated it to his second coming. You start messing with the flood, you're messing with the second coming, you're on dangerous ground there. So your disagreement, if you disagree with this being literal, is with Jesus himself. Take it up with him. We're just here preaching his word. Amen? Now a few questions, and we'll just answer one here today. How did God create? How did he do this? Next time we're going to look at when did he do this. For a few moments I'm going to tell you how old I believe the universe is. It's a young one. I'll just give you a preview. But how about this? How did God do this? Well, several times throughout Genesis 1 and here in 2, you'll see this phrase, "And God said." God literally spoke into existence everything that he made out of nothing. There was nothing. God spoke. There was something. God created ex nihilo, out of nothing. Hebrews 11 verse 3 says, "By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God." There's God's word. "So that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible." God didn't take things that already existed and rearrange them. He made things come out of nothing by his word. Psalm 33, 6 through 9. "By the word of the Lord the heavens were made. By the breath of his mouth all their hosts. He gathers the water of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." By his word, he created out of nothing. Could God have used evolution? Some would like to think that he could. No. Because evolution is an ongoing process, and the Bible speaks of creation as a past event that has ceased.
That's right.
Disagrees with evolution. Hebrews 4, verse 3, "His works were finished from the foundation of the world."
Amen.
Genesis 1 and 2 deny the possibility of evolution. God made everything, and nothing evolves into something else. He made it how he made it. A cell cannot increase its complexity, and it can't add new information to become something higher evolved. According to the second law of thermodynamics, nothing progresses upward, only downward to decay because of what happened in Genesis 3.
Right.
Nothing progresses upward, my friend. It only progresses downward because of the fall. The Genesis account flatly disagrees with evolution. No, God could not have done it because he didn't do it, as he says here in his word. Plus, in evolution, you've got death happening long before man's sin, and that's a problem. Because man's sin is what brought death into the world. Romans 5:12. Now, next time we will look at when God did this. But before we close here, I just want to give attention to the public reading of Scripture. And if you would, turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104. And I want you to tell me if you see evolution in the psalmist's account of creation. Psalm 104, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent." Verse 3, "He lays the beams of his chambers in the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flame, flaming fire." Verse number 5, "He set the earth on its foundations so that it should never be moved. You covered it with the deep as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains. At your rebuke, they fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took flight. The mountains rose. The valleys sank down to the place that you appointed for them. You set a boundary that they may not pass, so that they may not again cover the earth. You make springs gush forth in the valleys. They flow between the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. Beside them the birds of the heavens dwell. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode you water the mountains. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. Verse 14. You cause the grass to grow for the livestock and plants for man to cultivate, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread to strengthen man's heart. The trees of the Lord are watered abundantly, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. In them the birds build their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high mountains ate for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the rock badgers. He made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness as it is night, when all the beasts of the forest creep about. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they steal away and lie down in their dens. Man goes about to his work and to his labor until the evening. Do you see evolution in here, or is God supplying everything to what he created? The psalmist's interpretation is clear. O Lord, how manifest are your works. In wisdom you've made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the sea great and wide, which seems with creatures innumerable. Living things, both small and great. There go the ships in Leviathan, which you formed to play in it. These all look to you to give them their food in due season. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they're dismayed. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. When you send forth your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works, who looks on the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord. Let sinners be consumed from the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's in Jesus Christ that all things hold together. He upholds the universe by his word. Lord, thank you for this account that you've given us. Thank you for the creation, the literal interpretation of it, Lord, the way that you are intimately involved in your creation. Lord, you take care of the rock badgers, and you take care of the birds. You take care of the donkeys, Lord. How much more will you take care of image bearers, and how much even more are those who are saved by your Son? Lord, you care for us way more than you do the creation, and you are all involved in your creation as we see. Help us, Lord, to glorify you for your work in creation. Help us to understand Genesis and to understand that you spoke it all into existence out of nothing, and that you preserve it until the appointed day when the Lord Jesus will come again. It's in his name we pray. Amen.